Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am excited today to bring you Matthew Paul Turner. Matthew,
how you doing?
I'm good, man. Are you fired up and ready to do this?
I am. You sound a little more fired up than I am, but I am definitely on board. So I've had my coffee.
Brother, so I've just had more caffeine than you have, and I started bright and early this morning, so I'm rip-roaring and ready to go.
Awesome. Well, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read off for my listeners real quick. So Matthew Paul Turner is a best-selling author, writer, storyteller, photographer, speaker, and blogger. That was a mouthful. The guy's a stud. As one of the most influential progressive Christian voices in media, Matthew has been featured in The Daily Beast, CNN, Washington Post, Yahoo, USA Today, New York Times, The Colbert Report, Gawker, which I think I said wrong, and many more. And before I get started, Roar Nation, listen, I mess this up so many times. I get really cool people on here and I mess this up. So check this out. At some point today, we're going to be talking about Matthew's book that he wrote. Obviously, he does a lot of stuff. But listen, when we're done, go on Facebook. And I'm only going to do this with Facebook. Don't send me emails because I'm getting buried in emails. But do this. Go on Facebook, go into Messenger, go to Are You Real? Message us, because I have a team now that does this. If you will go on there and say, send me Matthew's book, I'm going to do the first five people, because the publishing company has been great to work with. They're going to send out five copies. So I highly recommend you get on there and do it, because you'd be surprised. Everybody thinks, because of thousands of people, listeners, listen, they actually don't do it. So you'll be really shocked. So send it, get a free book. And before I forget, so Matthew, now that I completely hijacked the intro, because I always forget stuff.
Hey, that's okay.
But I remembered. That's what's important, right?
You did, and you did it so well. Like, you remembered so well, and you put a lot of passion into it. So, like, I mean,
yes,
I think you're great.
I feel good about this now. We're gonna get along really well. Okay, so Matthew, Man, honestly, dude, I just said a lot in all sincerity. Like, you do a lot of stuff, man. So why don't you kind of give us a little bit, maybe a narrowed down version of, like, who you are and what you do?
Well, I mean, currently I am a children's book author, which I never thought that I would be doing. I tripped into writing. I was a music business major out of Belmont University. I ended up leaving Nashville because I was a server at a restaurant and I didn't want to wake up at 30 being a server. So I moved back home, which is Maryland, and then eventually to DC. And I was managing a coffee house, and I got a phone call one day asking if I could write. And, like, I wrote songs when I was younger, like, I wrote poetry, like, that kind of stuff, but I was not trained as a writer. But it was a .com called crosswalk.com, and they were looking for a music and entertainment editor. And because I had a music business background, they were very interested in me doing it. Well, come to find out, I actually had a little bit of a talent for writing, and so I did that for a few months, and then I was actually ended up back in Nashville a year later, and I was the editor of CCM Magazine, which at the time was the big Christian music magazine that was, you know, located in Nashville. And I was the editor there for 3.5 years, and then I got laid off. And so the one thing that I realized during that whole time that I could write. And so I dove into writing books and writing features, and then I ended up picking up photography along the way. And it became something that was became a major part of what I did, especially like, you know, taking pictures of my kids when I became a parent. And then I would travel with World Vision, which is a child relief organization, and I would take photos there. And I realized I had a little bit of talent with like photography. And so that's how that kind of came into the mix. Then I think probably one of the coolest things that I've gotten to do over the last few years was in 2015-16, I was invited by the National Geographic Channel to travel with Morgan Freeman and his film crew all around the world. And I was one of the writers and the set photographer for his documentary called The Story of God. And so I spent 40 days traveling the world with Morgan Freeman, which was really, really cool. And my photography ended up being put in magazines all over the world. And it was cool. But most recently, I've, you know, returned to writing books. And I think, obviously, my biggest, most successful book are two children's books, one that I just released, but When God Made You and then When God Made Light. And so I never thought I'd be a children's book author. And it's probably the thing that, you know, keeps me going now. So I'm enjoying it.
Dude, you just opened a can of awesomeness.
I know. Like, I have a really non-traditional path, and there's like other things that I left out, but it's just, it's that so often I just start doing what is put in front of me, and it's crazy what turns out.
Okay, so you got my mind spinning. Do you have like this success quote or like this scripture that you kind of live life by or just kind of comes to you, or maybe just even in this season of your life right now?
Well, I would say there's two things that I have. I mean, the scripture that I have like has kind of just been the verse that I've always gone back to is, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's simple. There's a simplicity to it. And when I think about God being the author and then also the perfecter of my faith, I really, and that done through Jesus, that's just something that has always been very real and connective to me. And then the other one is it's a writing quote that Anne Lamott has said several times. And it's the idea of, you know, don't be afraid to write crappy first drafts. She doesn't say crappy, but like, you know, it's just this idea that sometimes you just need to get down, you sit down and do the craft, and something that will help you perfect your craft. And so don't be afraid to write a bad one in order to get feedback and be edited to, you know, to a finished product.
That's funny you say that. I actually find that I really enjoy writing, but I suck so bad at spelling and different things. Like, I get frustrated.
Yeah.
So I think I need, I really like that. That was inspiring, because I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to write crap and then just, and then go back and spell check and then get some proofing. I love talking. So, but you get more out, I think, when you write, because you're able to really think about what's coming out versus sometimes I just talk and then I say, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes when you're writing about a particular story or a particular, you know, time frame in your life, it's crazy how much, like, when you're in the process of writing, how much of life it can bring out. Like, you will begin to remember things that, or, you know, like, you'll begin to see that particular time in so many different ways, because you have, it's almost like you go back in time to that moment. And it's really quite, it's a really cool process, because like, you go over and you edit, the story gets edited. And I'm a big fan of, like, I love the editing process now. And so like, it's writing is a thing for me now. So
that's
enjoy awesome. It.
Okay. I got to go back into some of the stuff you said. I'm writing notes as we're talking, dude. So it's really interesting. Okay. The first thing you mentioned was World Vision. Talking about what was some of that about? What were you doing there?
Yeah. I still work alongside World Vision. I was with them in Honduras last week. I helped them with from a social media standpoint, because I'm a writer and because I was a blogger and I have met so many influential people who have, you know, of some sort of social media influence, since 2010 have been taking groups of bloggers, writers, social media influencers around the world to see and experience the work of World Vision. So I've traveled to Bolivia, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, Armenia, Uganda, Honduras, other places in Central America. And so like that's was a, it's one of those like surprises in life that to get to travel and see the world and experience people from different parts of the world. It's been a real huge, has had a huge impact on my life. And it's, yeah, I love the work of World Vision.
What are you showing the media groups, the people you're taking? So what is like behind this stuff? What are you trying to portray for people to get out there that World Vision is doing?
My goal is just to give them a picture of what the need that people face in everyday circumstances or the grave circumstances that they are, you know, having to survive, and ways in which World Vision is coming alongside these people to not only help their stories, but to, you know, give them the tools and the ideas necessary to move forward and find healing and whatever. And it varies from location to village, you know, to whatever the challenges in that particular community tend to be. But my thing that I tell every writer, and I told writers last week, I was like, you know what? You need to experience this for yourself. You need to tell the story that you feel. And my hope is that they tell stories. And, you know, we've almost always had very positive stories that have come out of it. And people have had very positive experiences with World Vision. But, you know, we've also had one instance where a writer told the truth, and it was about how she wasn't as impressed with World Vision. And you know what? We learned from that too. And that was she's actually going to go back with us to Africa this summer. And so like I never want to like tell somebody, you know, give them the marketing verbiage, and just, I want them to experience it and tell their truth.
Well, if you ever want a podcaster to come, me and my family would love to check out World Vision stuff.
You know what? I took a podcaster last week. So we'll have to talk about that.
We will indeed. Behind the scenes, behind closed curtain. Be like Wizard of Oz, dude. We'll have to close the curtain.
Right.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey, everyone. This is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
So I'm really interested in the National Geographic, Dan. I'll tell you why. I've always loved Morgan Freeman. He's obviously has like that voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. I still remember him like as a kid. Do you remember Robin Hood?
Sure.
He played that guy. What was that experience like? How was all that going on?
Dude, it was like nothing I had ever experienced before. Like we went to five different countries and then six different countries. And then also we went to like four major cities here in the U.S. And then we also went to his hometown. And so it was, you know, I saw things because I'm with Morgan Freeman, and we have the access that, you know, National Geographic brings into a situation. We're going into Cairo, and you know, they're not just showing us the tourist attractions. They're taking us to places and to things, to see things that the most people don't get the access to see. But because we're with this touring group, I get to see. And I traveled to the Valley of the Dead, which is in Luxor, Egypt. And we traveled all around Israel and then to India. And, you know, every location was eye opening. And daily conversations and interviews with Morgan, and, you know, got to know him really quite well. And it was just, it was a really one of those once in a lifetime experiences that I will remember the rest of my life. And that experience gave me the courage, and not courage, but just the I finally was able to call myself a photographer after that, because like it was a
that solidified it for you.
It solidified it for me, and like
even though you were the whole time, but in your mind, because you kind of hit a certain pinnacle. Is that
right? Well, the deal? It's one of those things. Like in Nashville, there are. I mean, you could like throw a rock out in the middle of nowhere and hit a photographer. I mean, we're almost as many photographers as there are musicians. And so, you know, everybody has a camera with them. And so I always would say I dabbled in photography, or it was a hobby or whatever. And now, like after that experience, I was, you know, I fully embraced the title photographer, I guess. So not, I mean, you know,
I dig whatever. It. So I saw on TV their promoting of was it Finding God, or
it was story? It's called The Story of God.
Okay.
And now I was with them on season one, and then they ended up doing they did season two, which I spent a few days with here in the States with that one, and then they also did a documentary called The Story of Us, and then they're actually doing a third season of Story of God.
Okay. So what I wanted to ask you on Story of God, you guys are actually going through a lot of different religions, mm-hmm. and different stuff. What was your takeaway? I mean, as a believer in Jesus, obviously, mm-hmm. what was your takeaway that? Because you're obviously getting experience with Hinduism and Muslims and all. I mean, I'm assuming all mm-hmm. different types yeah. of religions. What was like a common thread, or what was a big takeaway for you going through all that? And that wasn't on the show notes, by the way.
Yeah. You know, it was eye-opening. There were certainly aspects of it that forced me to face a few, many questions. When, you and I could talk several hours on, you know, the some of the things that I saw, the similarities in the faiths that I just wouldn't have recognized prior.
Right.
I'll tell you, I walked into a mosque in Cairo, and during the time I was there, there was somebody, a body was brought in of a man who had just passed away, and to see the mourning process and the celebration of life process in a mosque I have a newfound appreciation for people of various religions, and to see their dedication in it, and to know that to have a hope that the story is, you know, that God's story is more involved. There's a lot more layers to God's story, perhaps. And that Jesus, you know, how Jesus works in the lives of people, it just was eye-opening and challenging, and, you know, things that I still process.
So I'm curious, when you walked into other religions or felt stuff, because I believe, and there's scholars that I've studied, and when they talk about, you know, where those religions come from, did you feel like, so we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives inside of us, different than, you know, other religions. Could you feel like a stirring, or did you feel, I'm a feeler, so, and not all people are, I'm just curious.
No, I'm a feeler. Okay. And
stir inside of you? Like you could feel the presence of not the Holy Spirit there, if that makes sense. Like it just, like there was this internal conflict maybe. I don't know if I'm wording that right, but I'm just curious how you were feeling.
You know what? Certainly there were moments when I was in India, I definitely had a few moments when we were engaging the Hindu story, where I was like, this feels odd, or not as, it feels a little empty. Right. Like it just, it very like processed. But then I also had a couple experiences where I was surprised what I believed, I don't know. Like I just had a couple moments. And again, I'm a feeler, that where I felt like the Holy Spirit was present. Maybe just for me, I don't know.
Yeah.
but there was there were spiritual moments that I feel like when you see it done, and maybe it was because I was the outsider looking in, like there were moments where I was like surprised and having a spiritual moment for myself. And I, you know, one of Morgan's, his hairdresser was the other person.
That brother needs a hairdresser. He ain't got no hair, man. It's like shit.
Well, she handles all like his beard, and she handles his like wigs or
that's
whatever.
That's awesome.
And so she is like a Pentecostal like believer from Atlanta. And yeah. And so we would always have these like moments where we would walk into situations and be surprised by what we were like, but you know, both would walk out like, wow, that was way more like, I swear there was a God moment in there. And we'd both like, you know, process that together. And it was just a really, you know, and since I, you know, I tried to really kind of shed the, I wanted to experience each religion, and to experience them so close together, I think also gave me a very, like, it wasn't like I had, you know, 1 year I went to India and had a Hindu experience. And then I, you know, 2 years later I went to, you know, China and had a Buddhist experience. Like, they were right on top of each other. And so these, to have these moments so close together, it was just like you have a newfound appreciation for what we do and how our celebration of God is similar and different from, you know, the people who celebrate God in a different way.
Right. So it's really interesting. I heard a comment, and I'm going to hijack it. It's controversial, and I said it on another podcast, and they really had to think about it for a moment because it spurred conflict, which was fun. But this guy said, he said, I believe, well, first of all, let me start with the foundation. I didn't do this last time, but scripture says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, mm-hmm. and the life. No man can come to the Father except through Jesus. And I'm like, okay, and I believe that as scriptural, but we can back that up. And this guy said, he said, I believe that all religions can lead to Jesus. But mm-hmm. only Jesus can get you to the Father. And I thought that was good. And the reason and that's hard for some people to swallow because they want to go back on that one scripture, which I believe that is foundational. But there's people of other religions that you hear about have this Damascus road experience that they're, you know, they were a Hindu or a Muslim or they were something. And like Jesus shows up in their living room and like all of a sudden they don't find religion. They find Jesus in this relationship and they have this converting Damascus moment. Mm-hmm. And then they're able to experience God for who he is through Christ, which is powerful. Because here's the thing, if Jesus is truth and we're on a journey to find truth, not knowing what it is, just we want to find truth, and God knows that, we're going to find Jesus.
And what I found, because we were engaging this story from a very practical, very like archaeological, very like it was historical setting, there were moments where I, like, we walked into, in Luxor, Egypt, we walked into a tomb, a 3,000-year-old tomb that looked as if, like, it, the hieroglyphics on the walls of this tomb were pristine. Like, the, you know, light had not touched it, and so it was still just gorgeous. And, yeah. Like, to see this man's story written out, you know, as from an Egyptian standpoint, and to like there were moments in this in his hieroglyphics and in the history in the story of him telling his experiences where he starts to talk about the heart and how the heart changes. And it was like there are truths that I gleaned from that moment that I can relate to, truths that I've learned in Psalms and truths that I've learned from Jesus. And to see where these ideas cross paths are just, you know, it's very true. And all that to say that I do think that Jesus shows up in ways in which we cannot understand.
Yeah. And nor will we probably ever till we get to heaven and we're like, hey, can we sit down and have a talk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what do you feel like in life, because you do several different things, photography, right, different stuff. In, like, everyday life, what do you feel like your biggest strength is when you show up?
When I'm a dad.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, honestly, like, it is, like, that's the, I realize that as a parent to three kids, I have two boys and a girl, and, like, as their parents, like, I can either come into their experiences and make them, or I can, you know, I could break them. There are so many, like, I can empower them to be good people and to live today to their fullest, or I could come in with words that are discouraging. And so, like, I see that role as so important as to inspire them, to inspire my kids is on a daily basis to remind them that they are loved by God, to remind them that we are called to love other people, to help them through their like the challenges that, you know, a 9-year-old, 6-year-old and a 3-year-old encounter on a daily basis. Like, I just like it's the thing that it's my most important job. And, you know, I find a lot of value and hope in it. So,
Matthew, I love that answer. You know, it took me a lot of years. I'm real business driven and have a lot of ideas and always want to do a lot of different stuff. And I really found when I surrendered to being a good husband and a good father and slow down, like, because like a lot of people, you get in ministry and you want to quote unquote build a ministry, right? Or do like something awesome for Jesus or whatever that looks like, at least I did. But man, when I found that my biggest ministry in life was going to be my wife and my kids, mm-hmm. and the most impact you'll ever have is on your wife and kids, man, when you can just love them and, like you said, dude, inspire them and encourage them and do everything you just said, like the fruit of that is amazing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, I don't, you know, it's absolutely like, I just feel like if I can't be a light in my own home, then how can I be a light anywhere else and fully value and appreciate and not go home and be ashamed of myself, you know?
Yeah.
So,
okay, there is no weakness in that. I'm just curious because sometimes we can overextend our strengths to a weakness. There's no weakness in encouraging loving our kids. What do you feel like for you in life? Like, what do you struggle with as a weakness?
I mean, I struggle with self-doubt. I mean, I'm a writer. Again, I'm a feeler. And so, like, I can experience a successful, like, launch of a book and still... And if it wasn't bigger than the last one, kind of be discouraged, or if, you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah. Certainly I like one of those, I have all these expectations of what I believe, you know, something that I've done can do or can bring. And so when I can set those ideas so high that I, you know, I would be discouraged if they all came true. I can become too emotionally connected to that process. And I certainly, you know, struggle with that and, you know, can become, get sort of negative about myself and how things work out. But I mean, like that's less so now, I think, just from maturity and getting older. But like, I think that, you know, but in my 30s, like definitely that was like, I mean, I wept over a lot of failed book launches.
Yeah, for sure. So how have you combated that? I mean, some of that's age, experience. I mean, yeah. Have you just had to go to the Lord and you know, the Father just ministered to you on it, or you kind of had a moment like if honestly, maybe healing through? I mean, I get it and I know what you're talking about, but how is that? How have you worked through that?
I think that I have to find the path of humility again. Like, I mean, because like, it's all like this expectation and pride and, you know, whatever. And that I also think that there are moments where we can give ourselves permission for a time to have those. Okay. So it didn't go quite like we wanted to, you know, like to be disappointed, but to also remember that it's, you know, I'm writing a book, I'm launching a book, and this isn't life or death. You know, there are things that, you know, are really of importance around happening around the world that are, you know, that you visit other countries a lot enough or visit, you know, you go walk into a situation where there's poverty or there's like huge, terrible experiences that people are encountering. And you realize that your experiences or the things that you face that are challenges that you call challenges are not as important or not as, you know, not as big of a deal. And so you find some humility. But I also think that once in a while, it's okay to give yourself permission to have a day of you know, sulking, where you're like, okay, I need to figure this out. Like, what, I need to feel this a little bit. And then from feeling that, you know, God can breathe new life into that dream that you engage.
Yeah. Okay. That is awesome. I want to jump into your book. I have it in my hand. It's actually, and the person who did the illustrating did a great job as far as the color. It's very colorful. I love it.
Yeah.
What was the motive, or let me just say real quick, it's called When God Made Light. Mm-hmm. What was that all about? So take me through the process of creativity of the book.
Well, I had been, when I had kids there, I had a few moments where I would be reading books about faith to my kids. And I just found that so often the books that I would read, that anytime the topic was about God, I not anytime, but like so often, I just would either, like, it would go too deep too fast, or it would not be all that entertaining, or it would just really not, like, engage the, it would be slightly boring or slightly just not creative. And
too much or too little.
Yeah. And I'm just like, why? Like, if this is about God, if we are going to, like, you know, talk to our kids about God, why wouldn't it be as delightful and hope-filled as, you know, books that don't have anything to do with God? And I just remember my kids, like, being, you know, I would pick up a book that, you know, was about Jesus, and, you know, my kids would want to read Llama Llama or read, you know, Cat in the Hat or whatever, because it was just entertaining the way it was presented. And so I, like I said before, like, I, rhyming was the very first type of writing that I did as a kid. Like, I would carry, or I was that geek in middle school and high school that carried around a notebook full of terrible songs and terrible poetry. And so I probably was just cocky enough to think that I could write a book. And then I started, my wife was like, you need to do it. Like, you need to go do it. My wife's like a huge cheerleader of what I do, and like was really encouraging me to pursue this whole like children's book idea. And so I started sitting down writing it, and I wrote like something terrible and, you know, that was just like not good. But then eventually I fell on this concept of light and the idea of like, of God saying, let there be light, and what that means and how that appeared. When light first lit up the universe, like, what was that like? So I started to try to like come up with words and ideas that brought that. And then, you know, how could I work that into like the light that God, you know, Jesus calls us the light of the world, that we can, you know, be cities on a hill, and how that would work out in the life of us. And so I worked 6 months on, for 6 months off and on. Of course, it wasn't like this daily thing, but I spent 6 months working on a rhyme, which is like 600 words, and then sent it away to a few people that I like know and trust. And they came back and gave me ideas. And then I gave it to my publisher, and I gave it to my agent, and he sent it out to 11 publishers, and we got 11 no's for various reasons. Like, some people liked the story, but like it just wasn't perfect timing, but like some people didn't like it. Like, it just, we got 11, you know, flat out no's. And the editor that I ended up publishing the book, like, she really, really wanted to write it. Like, she loved it. And she went back to her, you know, publishing board twice, and, you know, and they said no. Then in the meantime, my wife was also working on a book deal. She got a yes and got a nice advance. And the first thing she said, she goes, we're self-publishing your book. And so we self-published that. It was called God Made Light, but now called When God Made Light. We self-published that title in 2014, and we ended up selling all 5,000 copies that we printed, and that came back, and that allowed a publisher to come back in and say, hey, we want to do this. And so I released When God Made You last year, and then God Made Light came out this year. So
I'm just curious, when you self-published those 5,000, how did you get them out there? Because that's a lot of books.
We used Amazon.
Yeah.
And we had relationships with Dayspring also, which is like the faith division of Hallmark. So we had two retailers, and we sent books to every influencer we know, and we know a few of them, and we, you know, they mentioned and put them on their Amazon or put them on their Instagram and put them on their Facebook, and we sold every copy. I mean, I think I have like, I don't know, 50 or 60 copies in the garage, but that's about it.
I love that. That is such a cool story, because sometimes when God puts stuff in our hearts, I would get discouraged. At some point you had to be like, well, crap, I just spent 6 months on this. I'd like, you get married to this project, and then you're like, well, everyone thinks I suck. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, right?
Absolutely. And I skipped a lot of the drama. Yeah, no, I totally. So it was very much that way. It was a very discouraging. It got to the point where I really believed in this. Like, I mean, I had enough people in my life who I trusted and who tell me the truth, who spoken and who told me that this was a good idea, that I believed, like I really believed in it. It's not like I was so like cocky in the sense that I wouldn't have made some changes. That's not right. What I mean. But I just believed in the overall idea that I was supposed to write children's books. And so it was, you know, getting all those no's and then we went through the self-publishing process, which again, that takes, it was, you know, it pushed us to do things that we had never done, like work with a creative director and go out like, and it's a very expensive process, especially for children's books, because it was, we did four color, you know, and so like the printing, like the expenses was way more than what we would have been able to afford. But because my wife had just gotten an advance for our book deal, we were able to do it. And it turned out to be we made all our money back and then some, and it just was it ended up being a very positive thing. And we sold just enough, you know, 5,000 was seen as a really big deal for a self-published children's book. And so that just gave the publisher a second reason to come back and say, hey, okay, maybe there is something here.
You're like, yeah, now sucker.
So yeah. And so When God Made You, like, is like, it's, dude, like it's blown up. Like I think When God Made Light's like my 18th book. And the first children's book has sold more books than all of my other books combined. So
what was your takeaway from that? So obviously you had a really hard, I mean, that's a hard experience. And I know what it's like to just be so engaged in something and to fail, but you can look back and you see like God allowed you to push through that and you had victory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you tell yourself, or even a listener, like somebody that's in the middle of that, like you believe in it, you know, this is from God, you got to do this, but like everywhere around, everything in you feels like yes, but everything around you, people are telling you no.
I think that you have to make sure that you have people in your life who you have given permission to tell the truth. Because I think that our habit is to surround ourselves with people who want us to believe in ourselves. And so they tell us what we want to hear.
Yeah.
And so I had surrounded myself with, I certainly had some of those people in my life too, but I mean, like I had enough truth tellers in my life or in my story that had challenged me and told me, you know, the ugly truth prior to this experience, that I was able to trust them when they said it was a good idea. I think that sometimes we put our hopes and our money and our dreams and all this time and energy into ideas that we think are good, but we haven't checked it out with the community of people that tell us the truth. And so I think that before you go through the investment of doing something like this, make sure that you have people in your life telling you the truth. Because like, I think that God puts those people in our lives for a reason, to give us direction on how hard we should push through all of these things, various things that we try to do, or these big dreams. And then when we got all those no's, I was like, certainly had that moment where I'm like, oh man, well maybe I was wrong. Maybe, you know, I'm not supposed to do this. And then I, you know, when my wife came alongside, we're going to do this together. Like I, you know, picked back up and realized, okay, this dream is going to come true, and it's just going to come true in a different way. And my goal since then has been to celebrate with humility, because I could be like, you know, sort of like, I knew it was good in your face. Like, you know.
I didn't mean that. Like, I know listeners are being like that. But there is a little bit of that in you, just like to prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was, but I take it as affirmation. It was affirmation that I was hearing from God correctly, like in the sense that God was in the idea, and that I wasn't just dreaming. So it was so to come full circle and to have that moment, like we just, you know, those moments of being affirmed that you are hearing from God. Like I know maybe some people get those like moments of like affirmation all the time, but like I've only had a few in my life, and that was a big one for me. And so it to know that there is an audience of people that are the audience of parents and kids that really want, lively, just inspired words about God. That might be something that might be a need that the gifts that God has given me that I am able to possibly fill at least some of that void is a powerful thing. And letters that I've gotten from people, I get letters like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 letters, like long letters from people of various backgrounds every day. And it's been a really cool thing to see that, you know, a dream that started in 2011 has come full circle 6 years, 7 years later, is a beautiful thing. And I am just honored that I get to be a part of it on any level.
So. Absolutely. Matthew, I love your heart, man. I just see what God's doing and sense of humility. And I don't really know you, but just getting this last hour of talking, I've really enjoyed that. I want to ask you if you could go back to the younger you and just give yourself advice, encouragement, inspiration like you give your kids, what would you tell, what age would you go to, and what advice would you give yourself knowing of the things you're about to experience in life?
I'd probably go back to that 15-year-old kid carrying around the nerdy book and just say, you know what? One of these days, that thing that you're doing is going to come full circle, and you're going to be doing that. It's not going to be how you think it's going to be. Like, I wanted to be a songwriter. That was my dream. I wanted to be a songwriter. But you're going to rhyme words together, and you're going to move people, and you're going to bring people a glimpse of God with that talent that you're doing right now. And I would just encourage that 15-year-old skinny, scrawny, like still 2 years away from hitting puberty kid. I mean, I would tell that kid like that it's going to be okay, and that you to keep writing, to keep carrying that notebook.
Just keep moving forward.
So.
Okay, Matthew, where do we find, how do my listeners contact you, get a hold of you, some of your links and your website?
On Facebook, I'm at facebook.com/MatthewPaulTurner. On Twitter, I'm Hey, HEYMPT, which stands for Matthew Paul Turner. And on Instagram, I'm Matthew Paul Turner. And you can also visit my website, MatthewPaulTurner.com.
Okay. As we close out the show, my friend, is there any last piece of parting advice you want to give my audience?
I would say that if you have an idea that you believe God has inspired, that don't keep it to yourself. Share it with people who tell you the truth and let them speak into it to make the idea better, to sharpen the idea, to either affirm or give you direction about what that idea should be. And then if it passes all those checks, believe in it with all your heart and don't stop. So, because it, you know.
Awesome. Yeah. Before you know it, you'll come out with 2 best-selling books.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if it ends that way for everybody, but man, like it has been it's been an eye-opening and a really awesome, experience to see a dream, just something that, you know, that my wife and I started talking about, again, after we had our first kid, you know, we'd have these little conversations about, and she encouraged me and I kept saying, I don't know, everybody has a children's book idea. I'm not sure that I should even try. But to see what has happened in those 7, 8 years since then, it's been a really cool journey.
Dig it, man. Well, Matthew, if you hold on just a second as we close it out. Roar Nation, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. It's definitely inspiring stories. And what I love about it is Matthew just fell into what God created him to do. And you can see the outcome of just believing in who you are, believing in what you do. And we all have struggles, but when we push through, there's blessing waiting for us. And also, I want to thank you guys for getting on iTunes. A lot of you have rated and reviewed us. The one thing that I ask, if you would go, you take the time to click on that, instead of just giving us 5 stars, if you would also leave a review. I love to read them, and I'd like to start reading them aloud on here just to kind of give a shout out to my fans, because if it wasn't for you guys listening and being able to share other people's stories, it'd be pointless for me to do this. So it's about you guys tuning in and hearing awesome people like Matthew. So love you, Roar Nation. Be blessed. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.